The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm David Remnick, and that's almost it for today. But before we go, I want to introduce you to Rachel Syme.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good morning.
I'm very excited about this because, as you know, my expertise is exactly this.
Yeah, you're so fashionable. Exactly.
I like talking to Rachel because she writes a column for us about stuff that, well, I've got to admit it, I'm a little oblivious to. Fashion, style, consumer culture. So Rachel's going to bring me up to speed on all the trends. Anyway, I'm delighted you're here.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
And, you know, usually we're talking about music and books and things, and I at least have a leg up somewhat, but now you're going to bring me into a world I know so little about.
How fun.
And you're going to have some recommendations that I am champing at the bit to hear about. So,
all right.
What's the first?
So there's a meme, as fun as that is, that's been going around the internet for the last week or two, where you Google Rihanna and your birthday. And it's sort of like a special kind of horoscope where whatever she's wearing on your birthday, the first outfit that comes up sort of says something essential about your personality.
Can we do, should I do a birthday?
Yes.
Okay, October 29th. I won't tell you what year.
Yeah, so I'm so excited for you to do a close reading of this. But this is Rihanna in she's at the Amfar Gala to celebrate Tom Ford, and she's in Tom Ford.
Okay, whatever I say about this is going to get me fired. So why don't I leave it to you?
Because I can describe it if you want.
I really wish you would.
So this was this era a few years back when Tom Ford was doing extremely revealing gowns. And I think what she has on is sort of a white Grecian column dress with a slit up the leg, a sort of a thigh-high stocking.
A slit up to what my grandmother would call up to her pupic.
Yep, yeah. Up to her pupic. And then she's wearing what I think the people in the biz call pasties in the décolleté area.
What biz would that be?
What
biz do they call
pasties? Fashion, burlesque, all of it together.
There you go.
So, and she has sort of this kind of neck collar that's either nun-like or dominatrix-like, depending on how you want to think about it. So I wonder what this says about you, David, if this is your horoscope. I mean, maybe it's just like risk-taking? Boldness?
I'll go with boldness, sure.
Yeah.
She looks fabulous.
But I think the meme is really fun because I think it's this idea that this one person is a kind of cipher through understanding yourself, and she has so much fun with fashion. I mean, the thing about Rihanna is she's never had a boring outfit in her life.
What's next up?
I wanted to talk a little bit about a podcast that came out last year that was one of my very favorites that the fashion journalist and historian Avery Trufelman hosts called Articles of Interest. And it is part of this network, 99% Invisible, that's kind of a design show where mm-hmm. they go deep into the worlds of architecture and objects and their history. But they hadn't had a fashion show, so she piloted that for them. But my favorite episode and one I wanted to tell you about was the third, which was all about the history of pockets in clothing.
Man's great evolutionary advantage is the creation of tools. The problem is we're not marsupials. We need to carry them somehow. And this idea of who has access to the tools they need, who can walk through the world comfortably and securely, this is what we are talking about when we talk about pockets.
So she talks to fashion historians, curators, designers, people who are experts in menswear and womenswear going all the way back saying, why did women's pockets become so small? Because there's become a kind of feminist discussion in fashion that surrounds pockets. That's, does the dress have pockets or not? And if it does, it's pro-woman.
I don't know how you live without them.
I mean,
we've gone from kangaroos to cargo shorts, and now they've disappeared.
Yeah, and it's about what you carry through the world, what you conceal. There's so much going on with a pocket. And it was funny because when I was watching the Oscars, so many people were waiting for women to put their hand in their dress to show that it had a pocket, almost right. as a kind of sort of secret signifier that they knew what they were doing. Like Olivia Colman's dress had pockets.
Now, you know who had pockets and looked fantastic. I'm not sure I could carry it off, was Spike Lee.
I mean, he looked amazing. He had that Prince homage, and he had the gold Air Jordans that he had specifically made just for him. And he was so in the beret.
And the high pants to show him off. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And I love that Barbara Streisand wore a beret to a formal event. No one else can get away with it. So the last thing, I want to show you is perfume. So, you know, I'm a perfume obsessive. And I...
Now, what does that mean, to be a perfume obsessive?
I recently was a judge for something called the Art and Olfaction Awards, and I had to smell 200 perfumes blind.
Isn't it kind of after a while, of them?
They tell you when you become a judge, you're only allowed to smell 5 a day.
Ah.
Because otherwise you'll blow out your sinus and not give everything its fair shake. So anyways, I brought you two pretty interesting ones to smell, though, that are new. And there's this new trend in perfume that's verisimilitude, trying to smell like things that you would find in the world rather than just flowers or wood. It's this idea that you could recreate an actual thing. So I wanted to give you two that were new, that were like that. I mean, there is a pizza perfume, David, if you so desire to smell like pizza. But
I'm getting a little hungry already. I know. Just thinking
there's
about
there's all kinds of food perfumes. The gourmand category has exploded in recent years. But
you're not pulling my leg.
Nope.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, there's
like a French fries perfume.
There definitely is all of that, and those kind of fall into the novelty category. But on the more wearable end, there are perfumes that smell like fresh baked bread, which is a smell that everybody thinks they want to smell like it's, you know, like Hansel and Gretel. It's drawing
them down.
How
does that work in reality? You smell
them? In reality, I think it's a little yeasty, Okay, so but this one is kind of like that. So
it's a red bottle.
Yeah, so it's a red bottle. It's a maroon bottle. It's a new perfume from Tom Ford called Lost Cherry, which was.
Let's do it.
So the idea is again with the verisimilitude in food. I think this smells like
one spritz would have been enough.
Cherry icing or an icy from the movie theater.
It really does smell like cherry.
Or like,
so I shall smell the rest of the day.
I know. I'm so sorry that I've done this to you.
It's the best thing that's happened to me in weeks.
Isn't it funny, though?
I mean,
it smells like
really
a Twizzlers.
Cherry. Okay, I'm in love with my left wrist.
So then, okay, he's in love with last right, cherry. And then this
is
from...
Let's keep that wrist over at bay.
This is from Cyr Trudon, which is a company that once only made very, very fancy candles that, you know, would burn in designers' homes. And then they branched out into perfume. Okay. And this one is called Revolution. And
right wrist, spritz away, Rachel.
It is. I'm going to do one. It's supposed to smell...
Whoa.
Right.
Whoa.
Right.
What is that?
Okay, so the French Revolution is the inspiration for this.
It smells like the French Revolution.
And the idea is gunpowder. And isn't that just what it smells like, right?
I've got cherry on my left wrist and gunpowder on my right. I'm going to mush them together.
Cherry gunpowder is your new signature scent.
Oh, my God.
But can you believe that that happened? I mean, it's asphalt. It's the kickback from a rifle. It's
what's in it?
You know, I think probably what you're smelling most is cade. Which is like
what?
A cade. It's kind of a leathery tar that kind of smells a little bit like that smoky ash that's at the bottom of an ashtray.
By the way, the smell that's now overwhelming this office
I'm
is
so
beyond.
Sorry.
No, never
yes,
apologize.
I've changed your olfactive environment for the full day.
Wow, what a revelation. Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You can find everything Rachel Syme has written for us at newyorker.com.